Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Mick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th day of April, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you lucky, safe people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, not to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Woohoo!
The sharp growth in residential broadband traffic due to the sharp rise in work from home we have seen during the pandemic is starting to level off. While internet speeds have slowed somewhat in many parts of the United States, it turns out that even rural broadband networks are holding up pretty well. Speeds have dropped in rural areas but are stabilizing. Median download speeds in rural areas range from 16 megabytes to 19.9 megabits per second in each of the first 11 weeks of 2020. Speeds then fell to 15.5 megabits per second in March 22nd to 28, the lowest recorded all year. But rural speeds are back up to 16.2 megabits in the week of March 29th to April 4th. Median upload speeds in rural areas range from 5.5 megabits to 6.3 megabits in the first 11 weeks of 2020, but have been just 5.1 megabits in the last 2 weeks. This isn't a definitive measure of how rural broadband networks are handling increased residential usage by people losing jobs or working at home. For one thing, there is limited availability of speed test data in rural communities. Still, these results seem like good news. Rural areas obviously have a high proportion of DSL and satellite than urban ones, and yet median speed test results are stabilizing in both rural and urban parts of the country. Other data also suggests that broadband network usage is hitting a plateau. Cable industry lobby group NCTA, which doesn't actually stand for National Cable something, it doesn't stand for that anymore, said that, it doesn't matter what it was, said that peak usage actually went down about 1% last week, but we will want to see more than 1 week of data before making any conclusions about that. Increased use of video conferencing by people suddenly working from home is likely causing part of the rise in upstream traffic. Cable networks generally offer much faster download speeds than upload speeds. NCTA said that upstream peak hours in many regions have shifted from late evening towards afternoon. That's why some providers have increased upload speeds, because when you're working from home, the speed of your upload is important, because that's where your video comes from. NCTA also said that backbone networks have significant capacity and show no signs of congestion. This suggests that any slowdowns noticed by consumers are most likely caused by congestion in the last mile networks that lead to people's homes. Increases in residential broadband usage are apparently being matched by decreases in usage at office buildings and other facilities. During the pandemic, there's been a 35 to 40% drop in fiber bandwidth usage at businesses, schools, hospitals, government agencies, and cell towers. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is how's your network speed? Your choices are great, pretty good, okay, I guess, frustrating, horrible, and other. So far, we've got 121 votes. Great, followed by pretty good, are the two tops. And of course, if you have more to say, or if you checked other, then join us over on Soundbites. That's Soundbites, Bites with a Y. Francis insists on reminding us. All you do is scroll down on the right under. Oh, you can scroll. Actually, you can scroll down on the left. Actually, now under recent forum topics. You'll see this forum, 11 April 20, how's your network speed? And you can give us something to say there. So far, we've got three people who have who've responded in there. And, of course, we're here live. So you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be happy to talk to you about that stuff. We're going to start with Jason, all the way from West Palm Beach, Florida. How are things in Florida, Jason? Jason? Are you there? Hello, Jason? Jason?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
How are things in Florida?
They are doing, I guess, as well as can be expected. We're just praying for the best.
I would say I'm jealous that you're in Florida, but you're inside like the rest of us, so who cares where you are?
Exactly.
All right, what's up?
I have a little low-budget laptop I bought for my son to do his virtual school, and it came with Windows 10 in S mode. You're supposed to be able to take it out of S mode with a few clicks of the mouse, but for whatever reason, this one doesn't follow the normal rule of being able to get it out. You just get error message after error message.
Yeah, did you sign in with a Microsoft account?
Yes. I have not created what they call a local account. Do you think that would matter?
Well, it's supposed to work easier with a Microsoft account, actually. So you've gone into Settings, Update and Security, and Activation.
Right.
And then you say go to Store and upgrade your edition.
Yeah, but the Store, there's no Store even on the computer. You don't see when you go through the menus or anything, there is no Windows Store anywhere. One of the things that is recommended I've seen is do the WS reset with your command prompt. That doesn't work. I completely reinstalled Windows. Same as it was before.
All right, so let's try this. I'm going to – Steve just got here, but he's still setting up. So those of you who are not actually hearing anything on the YouTube channel, we'll be shortly. That was a useless announcement. But what I will do is at some point here, I will put a link in our website to Microsoft's support page on switching out of S mode in Windows 10. One of the things on that page is a link to the Windows Store that only works in Windows. So I can't give you a direct link because I'm not using Windows. But I can put that in, and that direct and that link should work for you. Did that make sense, what I just said?
I've found that link already and clicked on it, and the computer just ignores it. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And get this. I want to install Google Chrome on it because it just comes with, Microsoft Edge. You download the installer, run the installer, and all you get is a blue box on the screen that says, can't open this app.
Right, because that app, that error message is coming from the Windows Store.
I'm trying to run the Google Chrome installer.
Oh, you're actually running the Google Chrome. All right. Uh-huh.
Any program that you try to download, whether it's Google Chrome, whatever, you always get that same blue box. This app can't, it's stuck in non-administrator mode permanently.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing online lots and lots of people are having this same exact problem. Wow. Wow. The number of people who are
having issues.
Yeah. Holy moly. So, all right. So you don't even have the Microsoft Store on your taskbar. And it's not in the list of things as you go down the list.
Can you do a search for it?
No, it's just not there. You're supposed to be able to, you know, wsreset.exe on the command prompt to fix that. That doesn't even fix it.
Really fudged up.
It's really. I don't even know how to get into the BIOS or the whatever they call it on this machine. Usually the F8 key, I think, is typically.
Well, no, quite often to get into the BIOS, which would have nothing to do with the Windows, BIOS is usually F2 or the delete key.
F2 or the delete key.
Yeah, it's normally when it's booting up, you'll see it says either hit F2 or delete, and will bring up your system BIOS. But the BIOS has nothing to do as far as the Windows. I mean, that's mainly, just keeping track of the information within the actual unit itself, like the date, the time, size of the hard drive, what peripherals it has attached to the motherboard, and all that kind of good stuff.
Now, a lot of the suggestions online talk about using PowerShell, but this computer doesn't have PowerShell on it, and, you know, you can't install it because you get that same error message that the app can't run when you ever try to add PowerShell.
Right. Man. I have to assume that you've got... Wow, I have to assume you've got a damaged copy of Windows 10S, and I don't have.
Isn't that the point of Windows 10S? Is you can't run any other programs?
Well, do you have another computer?
Yeah, sure. I have lots.
What I would suggest there then is to on another computer download the image and recreate an image disk of Windows, a bootable one. And then you can put that into this machine and boot there and start fresh. And you'll have the option when you install whether to do a fresh install and just wipe everything or keep your files and just re-update Windows.
That's how I reinstalled Windows that way, you know, with keeping my personal files.
Right, but you reinstalled Windows 10S.
Yeah, see, you can... when you go to install it, tell it what version you want to put in. So if you put in the, do you have the license key for the upgraded version?
It's one of those that has the electronic license.
Yeah. Yeah, digital license. So there is no license key printed anymore.
Yeah, no, but if he's got that code,
You
write it down. And then when it asks you for that key code while you're installing, those key codes tell Microsoft what version of Windows you're installing, whether it's the S version, the home version, say Pro. I mean, it goes through the whole list. So those key codes are key to what version of Windows you're installing.
You should be able to upgrade to home, maybe Pro, but certainly home.
Definitely home.
And what I'm seeing online, and we had somebody call in, Paul from Henrietta, thank you, concurs, some low-cost discount versions of Windows 10S, in fact, do not come with the store and cannot do anything more than what they do today. That's horrifying, but apparently that's
Microsoft.
That's Microsoft.
It keeps the cost down. So customers want the cost to go down, but they want the features to go up.
And the frustration to even go up further.
Right. So you're like Dave said, your best bet is to download a version of Windows 10.
Reburn it to a CD or a DVD in this case.
Yeah.
And then...
DVD. It would have to be on a thumb drive.
Or a thumb drive, yeah.
Yeah, or a thumb drive. And then reboot to that on this machine and put in that code, say, for the home. The key code for that. And then that way Windows will say, oh, okay, I'm going to say install Windows 10 Home Edition for you, and we're going to keep your files, just replace Windows, and it'll go through it.
Can you tell me how to find that code? Because
I'm just posting a link on that, too. I got the one I got, how to get out of Windows 10S mode, too, Nick.
Oh, good. Yeah. Steve's on
putting, Steve's putting up links already. If you go to our website, the links will be there for you to accomplish this.
And that code is, even though it's a Windows S, 10S version, it'll work for Windows.
It should work for home. It may not work for pro. It certainly won't work for enterprise, but it should work for home.
Yep.
I should be able to find that code, even if they have it.
It's hidden deep in the Windows. You have to download Product Key Finder from Nearsoft. So Nearsoft has a lot of these cool little utilities to find these extra things that are hidden inside the Windows.
Matter of fact, there's one out there that I use that'll tell you your key code for, say, your Windows product. Yep. If you installed Office, it'll show that key code.
Product Key Finder by Magic Jelly Bean. That's another good one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of them out there that'll find your key codes and just display them because that's
Steve
not violent.
Steve's posting that?
Yes.
Yeah, Steve's posting that link.
What I get a kick out of is that whenever I'm needing to do this on a customer's machine, sometimes just when I go to the Nearsoft website, let alone download anything, Norton pops up. Oh, you're downloading a hacking tool.
Yeah.
No, not really. I'm looking at the product code that's in this computer already.
Well, that's like just like Windows. I get so frustrated, and I finally had to go through that it keeps trying to warn me, that smart screen. No, this app is dangerous. It's like, no, it's not. I use this program all the time. Get out of my way.
If you know what you're doing, it's nothing's dangerous.
Right. That's not true.
If you know what you're doing.
But that's the key. If
right.
That's a small word, but means one heck of a lot.
Anyway, the idea here is that, Jason, we've got, Steve has posted both switching out of S mode and Windows 10 and how to find Windows 10 digital license product key on our website at soundbites.org, again, bites with a Y. So you should be able to follow those instructions. Let us know how that works.
Okay, but I can't install any programs, so if it's a key code finder program, I'm out of luck.
Oh, good point.
Yeah,
you can't load
point.
That onto Windows S. It makes me think it's buried in the registry somewhere, but you can't probably open a registry editor either.
RegEdit does not work. The closest thing I've come, you can type in msconfig and pull up like all the little tiny programs that are part of the boot up. But RegEdit is blocked.
Looking deeper for Windows 10S, how to find the license code.
Right.
And it's always tricky when they intentionally hide things that you're not supposed to need to find. It may work just on the hardware, like the key. Usually, like the MAC address is a unique identifier for that device. And I've seen that sort of, even on a freshly erased PC, the digital license still works because that hardware key was
right. But this
linked to
key finder, do you have to install it or is it a standalone runnable product?
I'm pretty sure it's just an .exe file that you can run, download and run.
In that case, he should be able to put it on a thumb drive, stick it in, and run it directly from there.
Yeah, he might be able to do that. Try putting it on a thumb drive and running it right from there because, it's nothing that installs. It just is an executable that just goes out.
They often have two versions, an installer and an .exe.
Yeah, just get the .exe and run that and see if it'll find it for you.
Every .exe file that I've, it doesn't stop me from downloading them.
But it stops you from running them, yeah.
All right, one of the things that you can try is, again, go into the settings,
right.
Update and security,
right.
And down on the left you will see activation, and when you select that over on the right, you'll see change product key. Right, and you may find that you will see your product key.
Change product key.
Yeah.
The other thing you might want to look into, if I remember correctly, is if you do a search on smart screen. And if you go into Smart Screen, into the settings of that, you can turn off, because that, what that tries to do is Smart Screens tries to protect Windows from installing all this other stuff and that, and you can turn that stuff off. Disable it. It's Smart Screen, all one word.
And again, if you... one last thing. Again, in that settings activation area, if you see a link just above change product key that says go to store, click on it, see what happens.
You'll need a new app to open this MS-Windows-Store link.
Son of a pup.
Maybe it is. The hardware is locked into S mode with no store.
It may be a hardware lock.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but geez.
Might have to call the manufacturer that you got it from and talk to them.
Yeah.
It could save you quite a few hours if they've got a hardware lock on it, you know, and you spinning your wheels trying to, you know, pull your hair out, trying to resolve this. And, they've got a hardware lock on it. Just call them and talk to them, see what kind of support they can give you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But sometimes, you know, Microsoft locks things, and if it looks like in this instance, they're selling a version that cannot be upgraded.
Yeah, sure seems that way.
That's why maybe downloading a real Windows 10 thing, and you can run it unactivated for a while at least.
It just nags you to be activated.
It just nags you to be activated.
It just puts a thing
it
there.
It limits some of the customization options, too.
Right. But, whatever. But the point is that you should at least try that. If nothing else works, follow the link to download real Windows 10, install it, see what you get.
Okay. How many gigabytes do you think I need for real Windows 10 on a thumb drive?
Probably 8.
Probably.
I think it's a little bigger than 4, so you'd need at least 8.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, shouldn't be more than that. I think, I want to say it came in at 6, but who remembers anymore?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to take a break. Thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't help you immediately, but we appreciate your call. Good luck down there in Florida. Let us know what happens.
All right, take care now.
Thanks.
I had a customer recently that didn't know he bought Windows 10S. He just bought a computer.
Right.
And he wants me to install the software on it. I'm afraid we can't.
Right.
And it was a company machine that he couldn't get into administrator mode anyway. So,
people, be aware when you're buying a Windows machine these days that you may end up, if you're saving money, you may end up with Windows 10S. And what that really means is that you're essentially buying a stripped down version. It's less than a Chromebook.
Yeah.
A Chromebook, at least, there's a bunch of stuff you can add.
It's a stupid version.
It's a stupid version at Windows S. That's for stupid. Yeah. So be very careful what it is you end up buying, and be aware that the thing you're buying may not be the thing you thought you were buying. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are live right here at Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Do you want to take Jazz 90.1 with you everywhere you go? Don't worry, we've got an app for that. You can download the Jazz 90.1 app for your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android device free from the iTunes App Store and Android Marketplace. You can listen to Jazz 90.1 on the go, view DJ bios, our program schedule, news, pictures, and even become a member of Jazz 90.1. Your mobile device never sounded so cool. To download the Jazz 90.1 app, visit the iTunes App Store or Android Marketplace today.
Be sure to download the new and improved Jazz 90.1 apps.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones, we should mention that this is week 2 of the Spring Pledge Drive. We come to you twice a year for the pledge drive. We are, as you hear me say every week, we are a member-supported radio station. And what that means is we don't get any money from anybody. We don't get a stimulus check. We don't get any of that stuff. The only way we make any money at all is through the generosity of our listeners. And there are a number of levels you can pledge at. And if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray, who will be glad to tell you what those levels are and what the benefits are at each level. I will tell you that at the $90.10 level or above, you get the amazing membership card, which gives you discounts, buy one, get ones, BOGOs, all kinds of cool things at all kinds of restaurants and other venues in whatever area you're in. And those of you who are out of town can get a membership card for that area, so you don't lose out on that ability. And that's the $90.10 level and above. And also, you don't necessarily need to send all that money in one shot. You can become a Jazz-O-Matic member for a pledge of $10 a month or more. You decide how much. You decide how many months. And we'll sign you up for that. And then every month we take that money out of your account with your okay, of course. And then you get the benefits of that level. And let me say that we want to stay on the air. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. We want to stay on the air, not just we as Soundbites, but we as this station want to stay on the air. And that ain't cheap. We only come to you twice a year asking for your help. And so far, thank God, you've all been extremely generous. And I realize that these are tough economic times, but we need your help. Call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. If you don't want to talk to a human being, you can go there, click the fairly obvious donate now button, scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff, and you're on your way. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is, I think, Doug from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Hey, it's crystal ball time.
Okay.
For about 2 months, I've been dating Ubuntu from a USB drive, and then I'd like to have it move in and get married, but every so often, it just freezes on me, usually running nothing but Firefox with Gmail in one window, occasionally Facebook. And none of the keyboard tricks I've seen online in the Ubuntu help forums work. The only thing that works is a cold boot. So I'm wondering two things. One, would installing it theoretically maybe get around whatever this problem might be? There is no number two. The only thing I can see is Firefox is causing a problem. It comes out of it installs with version 72, and I've updated it to whatever the latest one is twice. That doesn't seem to make a difference. Firefox, that is.
Yeah, yeah. Let me suggest that just as a, I know people love Firefox, but as an experiment, try not using Firefox, use Chrome.
Okay.
Or you know, you can download Brave, or you can use Dolphin or Opera. Well, I don't care what it is, but Chrome is easy. And give that a try and see if that's the problem. The other thing is how do I put this? Are you in USB 1, 2, or 3, do you know?
3 on my computer.
Okay, and that's definitely what's running on the USB stick that you've got plugged in. That stick is a USB 3 stick, and it's plugged into a USB 3.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, then it's not a speed issue. How old is that machine?
About 5 years old. It's a Dell Latitude.
And Dell Latitudes work well with Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Is it possible it's overheating?
No. Matter of fact, when I'm running Ubuntu, it's the opposite of Windows 10. It's nice and cool.
Yeah, I've generally it would be.
I started their version of Task Manager to see what's going on, but no, it's not.
And when it freezes, is it always in the same program, or the same website?
Usually just with Firefox on the screen.
Okay, and so yes, then do me a favor and do some troubleshooting. Install Chrome and see if that makes the problem go away. How much RAM do you have in this machine?
4 gig.
4 gig is more than enough, too. These are all the wrong answers here, Doug. Just so you know,
I'm telling you, this is why I said it's a crystal ball thing, and I wondered if you know you could do a dual boot installation with this, right?
Yes, you can.
If I install it and don't take up too much of my hard disk, and it doesn't work, I've lost nothing but some hard disk space, right?
Right. And so you can install it. They say 8 gig, but man, I wouldn't use much less than 32.
Mm-hmm.
But at that you may be a little limited in what you can run. In other words, you're not going to be doing a lot of databases and stuff like that at 32 gig. But you can always use the USB drive as extra storage.
Right. Okay. And I've got an external hard drive with a terabyte left for storage. So oh, there I'm not you worried
go.
About that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You're good then. So you could certainly try that as well. It may in fact be some sort of interaction with the USB system in your machine. I have put Ubuntu on Latitudes. Now, there are 100 models of Latitude, but I've put Ubuntu on Latitudes, and it's worked great. You do not freeze in Windows 10, correct?
Pardon me?
You do not freeze in Windows 10?
No, it does not.
Okay.
It's not one of those computers that are locked to Windows 10S, is it?
No.
Maybe I have not given enough obscenity to the Ubuntu installation. There are plenty of them for Windows 10, but that usually keeps it running smoothly.
Sacrificed enough chickens. And
that's why they call it a cursor. The point I was trying to make is it's clearly not a hardware issue if it doesn't happen in Windows 10.
Correct.
So, yeah, my suggestion is try Chrome first and see if that solves the problem. Again, you're right. If you install it, there are certainly interactions that happen differently when it's installed and when it's USB, but they're rare and it shouldn't be an issue, but you know, who knows? Give it a try.
Alrighty. I appreciate it. Thanks
so
much.
Good luck, Doug. Absolutely. A lot of people are finding that running Ubuntu on their machines is a nice alternative to a machine that's either older or they're just tired of Microsoft's nonsense, to put it in an FCC-approved way. The idea is that you can either dual boot, that is to say when you boot up, you get a choice of which operating system you're going to use, and or you can install it over Windows and Windows goes away altogether. But that's, as Doug said, you're probably best off dual booting at least for a while until you're sure that Ubuntu works. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat from Batavia, New York. What's up, Pat?
How you doing, guys?
Good. You?
Good news, bad news. Good news is I paid my membership there for Jazz. I hear the single applause in the back. And the bad news is, I don't know if anybody else has told you this, when you're on hold, you're like at the ocean. It's like a seashell. Yeah,
oh.
It's like you hear a lot of static in the back. So I guess I'm saying this, so if anybody hears it, don't be surprised.
Well, right. I should say one other thing right now, just so anybody that's on our system right now and holding, the lines are pretty full, and even a couple folks have been in kind of limbo because I've only got 4 lines coming into the studio. So if we get overloaded with calls, sometimes you can wind up anywhere in the school system. So just be patient, and we will get to you because it does still flash, and it winds up coming bouncing back. With that, let's go ahead and take your question.
Yeah, sure. And I can testify that happened to me the first couple times. It circled around and started ringing again. They said, hello. I said, I'm still here. So I just wait. We're fine. Everything's good. Now, you're talking about internet speed. I decided to up my internet speed. I got a chance to get a 1 gig 50 megabyte upload or download and upload. But what I'm getting is a lot of real inconsistency here. And I'm not sure everybody's going to complain about this, but it'll range, like I run three or four different tests. One is 496, and I ran an AT&T test that was 119.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll run the test, and it reminds me of a guy sprinting, where you know, we'll start 400, 500, 400, 300, 400, 300, maybe, you know, peak out at 3. Is that kind of normal for things to fluctuate that much?
Normally, it's not normal, but this is the new normal.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that we have, as I said in the original news item, is the internet is highly overloaded. And it and in this particular case, there are three things that influence the number you get. One is how fast the other end is actually serving the files to you for the test. And that depends on how loaded up that machine is. The second thing is the actual network speed. And the third thing is how fast your machine can receive all those files.
And that's, the time of day.
And those vary depending on the time of day and what else you're doing and et cetera, et cetera. Also, it also depends on, as Dave just said, alluded to, at different times of the day, you'll have a different load on the network outside your house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for my test, I'm kind of like I sit here and run it for 5 minutes, because it only takes 30 seconds. You know, I'll just click the button.
Sure.
And now here's one I just ran. It was 38.7 seconds, which is ridiculously low.
Right, right.
Considering I got another one that it freezes on the screen afterwards. So before that time, I pulled another screen. It was 473. And they think, okay, is there like one test that's better? Now I just ran another one. It's 545.
Right.
And it's just, you know.
It's ridiculous. What I do, I'm on Greenlight. And so the back end of that seems to be level 3, which is an upstream provider. RIT is on that same upstream. So when I use speedtest.net, I think is the one I use, you get to choose your server.
Yep.
I choose the RIT server. That's going to give me a truer reading because it's the shortest hop. It's RIT to level 3, level 3 to green light to me.
Now, when I was reading about this, I was seeing like that one of the places suggested be sure you have I think it's called a Cat 6 cable.
Right.
So I bought one of those today, risking COVID-19, but I turned my head from people, and it's like it's weird because now you look at your neighbors and now they're possible biohazards.
Right.
Which is kind of sad. But anyway, the other thing is my upload is consistently 48, 49. That doesn't vary at all.
Because that's lower, it has less impact on the network, and that's part of that. But yeah, so it depends entirely. At this time, particularly, you know, now, the way the world is right now, you're never going to get your full speed. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But for example, I'm on a gigabit connection. I generally get 800, 850.
Yeah. It's just the way life is right now.
Right. But if I connect to, there's a server, I believe it's in Amherst, I'm down to 500.
Yep.
But I know that's not my connection.
Yeah.
Right.
Because just 10 seconds earlier, I had 800.
Well, plus, and it also matters whether you're doing it wired or wirelessly.
Right. How I'm being wired. Yeah. That I know is the fastest going to be the fastest.
And how fast your router can transfer the data. You know, a cheap router might only be able to get, you know, 500 megabit. You put in the big Cisco Iron, $1,000 router, it'll do 10,000 megabit.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of variables.
Yeah, I was to say too many variables, and that are out of your control. And it's not that there's anything wrong with your machine. It's just that, you know, once that signal leaves your computer, you have no control over it and where it's being pinged all over the world.
Right. And like we said, the networks are getting congested, not to the point where they're breaking down, but certainly the point where you're not getting your full shot right now. And you can't blame your internet service provider, whoever that is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of feel like the rich guy saying I'm not getting enough interest when I'm looking at 437 down,
yes.
49 up.
Right.
And then I heard you say like 15 and 20. Oh, should I even call? It's
like, I remember my 300 baud modem.
Yeah.
As do I.
How soon we forget.
And it was such an upgrade from the 110 baud acoustic coupler.
Right. Yeah, I know the whole history with that. So, yeah. Okay, so I'll just, do you think, one last thing, do you think that Cat 5 and Cat 6 makes a difference, or can you even trust, I mean, it says it on the cable. How would you know?
Well, the theory is that they're regulated. But, yeah, generally Cat 6 is a little better, although not necessarily faster than Cat 5. Cat 6 is I think, more fireproof. Better shielding.
Theoretically leads to less interference, which RF. Theoretically leads right. to faster speeds.
Right.
Less RF.
Yeah, theoretically, it's like the checks in the mail, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, guys, thanks. I'll let the next person get on, but I appreciate your information, and hang in there.
All right, thanks.
We
you too.
We appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. And we want to thank George for his very generous donation. George is our latest member of Jazz 90.1. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we are honored that that George was able to join. And you can join as well. It's easy enough to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Call either of those numbers. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray. If you're one of those people who really wants to be socially distant and not talk to anybody, I call that anti-socially distant, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit the not inconspicuous donate now button. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff and join the party.
One thing folks have recommended, though, you know, like you were saying, because of the cheaper cables, you know, worrying about the RF and that type of stuff, you can get what they call ferrite beads. And it's just, you know, on quite a few of your USB to, say, printer cables, you'll notice that at both ends there is literally a ferrite bead on either end.
Little magnet.
A big circle-y, blocky thing.
Yeah. And
cylindrically, not circle.
And if it doesn't have those, you can get them. You know, they sell them in packages that you can clip on to a cable, reducing the RF.
Right.
What's interesting is one of the fundamental tenets of modern society is the electric field effect. A current running through a wire creates a magnetic field. Okay, fine. A magnetic field around a wire creates a current.
Right.
So they interfere with each other as they're running through the wire.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why a really long wire becomes an antenna and you get more interference.
And
so the shorter your wire, the better.
And if you look behind your computer and you see a rat's nest of wires, think about all the interference going on among all of those.
Yeah.
If you've bundled all your wires together, think about the interference going on with all of those.
That's where I put a lot of the ferrite beads on all my cables.
That's
I
exactly the way to do it.
And you can go on Amazon, and you can get a package of, it's like 20 ferrite beads. They literally just clip on, and there's different sizes. Or, you know, if you got a real thin wire, sometimes you can wrap it around a couple times. Wrapping it around a couple times helps, again, reduce the RF field. And you can get them for like 10, 15 bucks, 20 of them. And they're small ones, and they're great to have, you know, on your stuff to help keep down the noise that you might be getting.
Right. And they're ferrite beads.
Yeah, ferrite beads.
Sometimes called ferrite chokes.
Yeah, chokes.
Right.
They choke the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do they do?
Because that's what I had to do up. Boy, if you saw up in my ham room there, I mean, there's not one cable up there that doesn't have a ferrite bead on it. Because, again, noise is critical.
Yeah, I just did a search for ferrite beads snap-on.
Yeah.
And there they are.
Yeah, there you can get it all
$8 for 20 pieces, $11 bucks for
20
pieces. The
big trick is the diameter, so how depending on how big a cable you want to put it around.
Well, that's where the 20 comes in a variety of sizes, right from very small, like
3, 5, 7, 9, 13 millimeter.
But if you get them that are bigger, you can sit there and wrap it around twice and then snap it close. And they open and snap close very easily.
Yep. So that's a good tip. And it's the kind of tip you only get here on Soundbites. Isn't that worth a membership to this station? 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Do we have time for a call, or do we want
to? Yeah, we could at least take the question if
all
we
right.
have to.
Our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Brian. What's up?
Hi, guys. I'm doing well. And the answer to the question is yes, I am a member.
That's what I like to hear.
Not that it matters with my answer, but it's good to know that somebody is.
Yep, yep. What's up?
I'm on a phone box.
Yeah.
Okay? In my browser, top line is the tabs. Second line is the search bar, the big white search bar. Third line is the bookmarks.
Yep.
And then there's the full screen, right?
Yep.
If I open a tab, I lose my bookmark bar. I was doing something with one hand on the telephone and one hand trying to type, and I was supposed to do shift something, and I think I did control something. And I lost the bookmark bar when a tab is open.
Control shift B, as in
well, that's
bookmarks.
Why I couldn't do it. Control shift B?
Yeah.
Ta-da! I knew it was an easy answer. My fingers are just not trained to do this.
No, I get it. You can also get it from the three dot menu.
I couldn't find. I looked over there, and it says new tab, new window, new incognito, history, downloads, bookmarks.
Yeah, and under bookmarks, the fourth choice, the third choice down is show bookmarks bar.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
I couldn't find that before.
There it is.
There it is. Geez, you guys are good. See, when I pay my dues, I got a good answer.
Exactly. Another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Brian.
Well, the other thing, while I was waiting online.
Yeah.
Of course, and I recognize what Dave was saying in terms of overloading the lines. But it sounded like I was listening to an Edison wax cylinder recording.
Yeah, it's a special effect we put on.
and listen, trying to hear you guys over it. But now it's better.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks. Have fun. Stay safe. Yeah.
It's amazing how you can accidentally push three or four characters in exactly the right way to do a function.
My cat did that the other day. Walked across my keyboard. I've even got a box around my keyboard, and she just jumped over. She wanted to be on the keyboard and did something that took me like half an hour to figure out what the hell she had done.
How in the world did you hit Control Shift B? Accidentally.
Accidentally, but you do. It's how it works. And that's why you are a member of this station, because answers like that are stuff that you want to get from us. So, hello. There we go. So please become a member. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You've got a few minutes to do that because we're going to take a slightly longer break right now. But don't go entirely away because we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Shirley Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member supported. Jazz 90.1, and we will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And just before we go to the phones, two important announcements. One, we are live. So if you want to call in, you can do so. But also, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And what that means is twice a year we come to you and ask your help to keep this station and this show on the air. And the easiest way to do that is to make a call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And you'll talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray. If you don't want to talk to a human being because you're practicing antisocial distancing, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit the fairly obvious donate now button and scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. And we'll give you time to do that because we will talk to Tom.
I was going to say, in support of, you know, telling folks to go, look, if you were listening the past hour, we spent, what was that first gentleman's name?
Jason.
We spent over a half hour trying to resolve his issue. We're not like most tech support areas that just sit there and read out of a cookbook and give you, you know, well, you got to try this, this, and this. You know, we're actually doing research in that and trying to give them answers that are going to solve this issue, not just something that's a blanket. You know, we try to focus on your individual issue. So that's the type of support you get. And being a member of that, you're showing how much you appreciate what we're doing and supporting us and being able to do that.
We'd like to stay on the air, both as a show and as a station. We can't do that unless you make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org while we talk to Tom from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hello. A couple of quick questions. When I log into a personal account, enter my username, then the password, there's always an option for a box to check remember me. I never do it because I'm afraid the password would be stored on like a temporary internet file or whatever. Is that a good idea?
What operating system are you running?
Operating system, Windows 10.
Okay. And which browser?
Firefox.
Okay. So yeah, it is the password is saved in Firefox's password manager
on your machine,
on your computer.
So it's better off not to.
Well, it's a personal choice. Some people like remembering it so that they don't have to type it every time.
Yeah, I'd rather type it every time and be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you do have a password manager, that is protected by your computer's password.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of people don't have a password on their computer either.
Alrighty.
Can be tricky. Now, one of the options that most of the browsers have is a way to synchronize your passwords with your other devices. So between your phone and your tablet and your computer, the browser will sync your password. Then it goes through the internet to do that, which adds a layer of risk. There was a big story a couple of weeks ago about someone whose Google account got hacked, and the bad guy was able to log into his Google account and see all his passwords because he logged in as the person. So the Google thought it was that person, and sure, you can see your passwords.
Sure, of course.
So you have to be extra careful if you're doing any syncing across your devices.
Okay. Thank you. One other quick question, if I may. I don't use my printer very much. I have a Canon inkjet printer, which the cartridges, lots of times they dry out.
Yep.
If I buy a laser printer with a toner, would that eliminate that problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Toners.
It's already dry.
I am in the same boat. I print out 4 sheets of paper a week. That's it.
Yes.
And my toner just lasts. It's not the ink being a liquid will dry out, clog up your print head, and it's just horrible.
Yes.
Toner just sits in the cartridge until it's pulled in to print with, and it is a dry powder, and it will not clog or go bad.
Yep. And generally, laser prints are about a tenth the cost of an inkjet print. So it used to be you'd pay a little more for laser printers, but now you can get a decent laser printer for under $100.
Yes. Yeah. Any brand that you guys recommend?
I have a brother, and I love it.
We've liked a brother too.
I've heard, so.
HP has been the sort of the big brand forever. And what was interesting is brother made fax machines for a very long time, and they were sort of the king of the fax machine. And apparently, someone at brother realized that a fax machine is a printer. We'll just plug it into the computer instead of the telephone.
Right.
And now, and so the brother printers generally are a little bit less expensive than HP's. The consumables are generally a little bit less expensive as well.
And they're all Wi-Fi capable?
Yes. Depending on the model.
Yep.
Okay. Is there any place that you know of that would accept my inkjet as a donation?
Check with your local church.
Community organizations.
Schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, getting hold of somebody right now is a little issue, but generally speaking, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for your help. You guys are great.
Thanks, Tom. Hope you're a member.
One of the interesting things we've seen is that in the earlier days, the ink tank and the print head were typically separate units.
Right.
Which then means, because they wear out at different times, you can replace them separately, but that means there's more replaceable parts in the printer. And then for a while, in fact, that was one of the big thing with HPs. The print head is in the ink tank. And so with every time you replace your ink, you get a new head, which is nice. And now what we're seeing is to combat this cost of liquid ink printing, many of the printers are coming out with larger and larger tanks. Epson has a line they call Eco Tank. Where the tanks are larger, so your cost per print is lower. Somebody worked out the math once. You buy those little ink tanks, it's like half a milliliter, which is a tiny amount of ink for $20, which seems cheap, but you work that out, and it's like $5,000 a gallon.
Yeah. I'd rather fill my tank.
We did have one person text in, and they said, last week you talked about the security issues with Zoom. They have made upgrades since that. Can I trust them? At this point,
I don't. The fact is that some of the upgrades they made are good. They still, as far as I know, do not really have end-to-end encryption. And they still mistakenly, once in a while, route people through China. I still don't trust Zoom.
Oh, gee.
If you don't mind any of that happening.
Yeah, no. If you don't mind any of that happening. So, for example, I had a chat with an old college buddy. And he said, here's my Zoom thing. Okay. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, you just
sees me on that.
Said.
Right. But I would certainly never hold a business meeting over Zoom.
No.
Just wouldn't do it. But in terms of, I mean, if you're not going to talk about anything, but, you know, how are you?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just talking to a friend versus doing a Zoom chat with your accountant.
Right.
And talking about your taxes and all that. Yeah, no.
If you're going to talk about anything you don't want China to hear.
Yeah.
Don't use Zoom, but if it's not going to be, if you're just going to chit-chat, then fine.
You can still use Skype.
You can use Skype. You can use all kinds of things.
What's the URL for your icon? Your list of alternatives?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. It's nickf.com/videochat.
Videochat.
.php.
We've posted that a few times in the Soundbites list, too.
No, it's asknick.com. Sorry. I completely lied to you. I know, right? It's asknick.com/videochat. Lists a bunch of video chat software. Some of it is free. Some of it is. It's impossible to keep up with because we're hearing new things about them.
They're changing fast
all the time. But in general, I personally don't trust Zoom for anything other than. And of course, Zoom video chats are ending up online.
Yeah, so, anyone in the chat can hit the record button and record it.
Yeah, right. And then post it.
Right. So no, I wouldn't necessarily go with that. Before we go back to the phones, I would like to thank Marianne, who's become the newest member of the Soundbites family. Thank you so much, Marianne. We appreciate your generous donation. And don't forget, folks, you can join Marianne. Here, as a member, and it's easy enough to do. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit the obvious donate now button. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. In the meantime, we will go back to the phones and we will talk to Brian in Pavilion, New York. Hiya, Brian. What's up?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Peachy, you?
Oh, hanging in there. I have been affected greatly by this virus thing going around, and so I cannot join this week, but...
No, I get it.
Promises, as soon as possible, I
thank
pledge
you.
The pledge.
Thank you, thank you. We appreciate that, and we'll hold you to it.
This is normally the weekend that I would call and do that, but I'm facing a circumstance right now. So.
No, I get it. You and everybody else, I get it. Believe me.
Yeah, but I am on board with you guys, and will help as soon as possible.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear. Thank you so much. And you can pledge online all year long.
Well, I actually was on my phone listening to a podcast on a website that I like to go to quite a bit. I had accidentally, after they revamped this website, they accidentally allowed third-party advertisers to come through. I know. Is there a way to backtrack on that? I can't find anything on my phone that allows me to do that.
Android or... iOS.
Oh, it's Android.
It's an Android phone. All right. So hold on a second while I pull up.
I know there's global settings. I don't know if there's a website by website setting.
There's something very like that. Yes. If you go into settings.
Right. But I allowed it on this particular site.
Yeah. But there is a thing that lets you
find the place you're looking for as we.
I
was looking at Google. I really couldn't find any solid information on it.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the. There's a search term you can use to
is
find
it privacy or it's not just cookies. It's third party advertising, right?
Yeah, and it's horrid. It's dumb games, and I just won $1 million if I click here, and it's something. It's an interesting. Yeah.
There it is.
It's
privacy.
Bad news coming in from it. So.
Right. Under privacy, you can. Well, there are a couple of things. Under privacy, you have a whole bunch of settings. And you can go into settings and search for privacy and it'll bring it up. So you can personalize using your app data or not. You can autofill services from Google. Location history can be turned on and off. Activity controls and ads. Under ads, you can opt out of ad personalization. You can do things with ads that are directly from Google itself. The problem with all of this is that those things, you're right, may be coming from the app itself. And unfortunately, on a per app basis, it's not called privacy. Permissions.
Right.
App permission.
Too. I really couldn't put my finger on exactly how to do it.
Right. There's a thing called Permission Manager. And that has lots and lots of stuff in it. Everything from call logs to physical activity to storage to all kinds of things. And some of that is available for you to change, and some is not. If, in fact, this app does not let you do that, one thing, about the only thing you can do is to dump the ad and hope when you bring it back in,
the settings don't still there.
Follow. Right.
Right. I got you. That's cool. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, this, just as a matter of opinion, I actually am not quite as alarmed by the everything that's going on. I certainly am aware of it and certainly am keeping my eyes open. But, I got to think this is like almost like our first social media internet virus for humans. It's been an amazing thing to watch this play out, especially how technology's taken over. I mean, thinking 200 years ago, you might not even have known this was happening.
Right.
Town to town, village to village. It's been a very it's been a very interesting thing watching how people are now really interfacing almost on a very personal level with the machinery of the computer.
That's an excellent point.
You know,
that's an excellent
you know,
point.
And I think this is heading into maybe a very, very, very odd snapshot of a new normal that's over the horizon.
Yeah, it's a very scary time because it's change, and people hate change. But the reality is that as much as we hate the term new normal, the reality is that if this lasts any length of time, we'll get used to it. We'll live through it. It'll all be fine.
We're already starting to see some states are opening up their beaches or opening up for social gatherings, and we're not over it yet.
Yeah, I think it's a little premature.
And it's true, and you know, and you know, from you know, we'll get a chance to stand back. Hopefully, we'll be standing here. We'll get a chance to stand back and look at this. Change is difficult, but new change, you know, changing into something that no one really has data or real experience with. You know, it's been interesting to see the alarm and the way people react, and the way now that we receive our news and the way things are being delivered. It really, it's almost a glimpse into the next century. Almost, it's an amazing thing how we're locked in, but we're not. You know, we're one unit, but we aren't.
Right, and just imagine that without the internet capabilities we have today to do video chatting and everything else. We'd be socially, at least, in much, much worse shape than we are now.
Yep. It's just like I said. It's an amazing new thing, and it's you know, you get some time to really digest what's happening. It's not an uneasy feeling, but it's definitely something that I don't feel as though I've ever experienced before. And it's like, this is really strange.
Yeah, it really is. It's a very different feeling for all of us.
Thank you, guys. I very much appreciate it. And, you know, and I promise you, as soon as I'm back to work and things are looking up for us, I will definitely grease you guys up.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Brian, and good luck.
Oh, yeah, you bet, man. Take care.
Thanks. No, I get it. We definitely need your support. We absolutely, definitely, really, really need your support. But I fully understand for the people who are completely incapable of doing it at this time. As long as you don't forget us once you're capable again. That's the important part. And again, you can make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. That's for all of you who are listening on the podcast. There are hundreds of you who listen every week, 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, all of you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just hit that Donate Now button. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. It's up there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 6 days a year. So you can pledge whenever, wherever, however much you want. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Ed from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. I'm a member, and I think it's a best money I ever spent in my life. You guys had been talking about Zoom. I was going to call you in anyway, and I'm glad the question came in. I'm supposed to have a woman participate in a webinar next week. It's more of an informational kind of thing. Plug in and get the information. It's a local. It's from, I think, Lifespan. And it's their website, their Zoom site, if you will. And they give you a key to get in. They tell you not to give this key to anybody else, blah, blah, blah. In a situation like that, where you're simply more of a not a participant but a viewer, is that still a safe environment to be in?
Well, it's fairly safe. I mean, the reality is you're not giving out any information.
Correct. It's more like you can ask question and answer, but basically it's a lecture you're attending.
Right, right, right. So in that particular case, your exposure is very low. Theirs is high, but yours is low. Now, there's another thing called Zoom bombing. If malicious actors out there on the network get hold of the information to get into that Zoom conference, and frankly, it's easier to do that than it should be, they can join any conference they want. We're seeing that people are showing pornography and white supremacy stuff, and the only thing you can do at that point is end the session. So that's a small, very small possibility, but it is a possibility. So you should be aware that that might happen. But aside from the shock to your senses, there's no danger to you or your computer or anything else.
That's a good point. How would they get in, though, without a key? Could they just hack in some way? Is it easy to get in without
They hack in, and the reality is those keys are not as secure as you might think. And that's all at the other end. That's at the Zoom end. That's why people are not happy with Zoom.
If you're getting the key through the email, email is not secure itself, so that could be intercepted along the way that way.
Right. There's 100,000 ways that it could.
For other purposes, say like you wanted to talk to your friend someplace about like what Nick said earlier, old times or whatever, would Skype in any event still be the better approach?
Well, as you can see from the website that I put up at asknick.com/videochat.php, there's lots of alternatives. Some of them are free. Some of them cost money. I tend to use Mastermind Lounge, but that's just me. I have also used Google Duo, Google Hangouts, House Party, although I've not played with that very much. Jitsi is free. You can host your own Jitsi server if you want to.
There's like everything, there's kind of an interesting trade-off between how easy it is to use
right. And
how feature-rich and secure it can be.
That's why so many people use Zoom, because it's ridiculously easy to use.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was another gift from our friends in China. You guys have mentioned that. That's a very good thing to know. Thank you for that.
The company's based in America, but it's a Chinese-American that's hosting it. And generally speaking, the traffic is supposed to go through the local area of the people in it. But sometimes traffic gets routed into places we don't understand.
Mistakenly routed through China. How do you mistakenly route something through China over and over and over again?
Mistakenly on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. I want to thank some people. We, as you know, we are in a pledge drive. We're going to take just a moment to say thanks to Earl and Charles and Joel and Robert and Richard and Patrick and Daniel. You can join them, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. We need your help. We need your support. It's time for you folks to step up. Just like George and Marianne and Earl and Charles and Joel and Robert and Richard and Patrick and Daniel did, you can join them and become a member. Look, I put on pants for this. The least you can do is pick up the phone, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And thank God for that.
That's right.
You folks don't want to see that. We have to.
I took a shower. I take a shower regularly. That's not different. But I put on pants. Do you know they have zippers?
Really?
My sweats don't have zippers. I almost forgot how they work.
You could have worn your kilt.
I could have worn my kilt. I have great gams. We know that. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick, Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Listen, take this short break to make the call, make the pledge, and we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that so far at least we have managed to remain member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have the well-named Nick from Batavia on the line. Hi, Nick. What's up?
Well, I'm waiting for the second hour because it's not really a problem. I'm ready to install Cloud Ready.
I'm sorry, you're ready to install what?
Cloud Ready.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, I just wanted to know whether, because the requirements are kind of vague, you know, on a machine with 8 meg of memory, you know what I mean, or 8 gig of memory, you know, so I was just wondering, you know, my machine's older, it's about 8 years old, it's got a Xeon processor and 24 gig of memory. And I was just wondering, are there any other rules besides what they, you know?
Yeah. No, not really. You want to have, they say 2 gigs of RAM, but you really, you want a minimum of 4, and 8 is certainly better. Storage space, they say 16 gig or more. You need to have full access to your BIOS and stuff. How old is your machine, did you say?
8 years old. It's got 24 gig of memory, and it's a Xeon processor.
Yeah, you should be more than fine.
Well, that's what I was worried. Remember back, I think it was XP or 98, where if you put more memory into it, it didn't work as well? That's what I was afraid of more than
the 32-bit
versions. Yes, the 32-bit versions maxed out at 3.5 gig. And using more could confuse it, as a matter of fact. But all modern operating systems are 64-bit, and they will use up to it's terabytes of data.
Although many times you can download 32-bit versions of different OSs,
right,
to make sure you get the 64-bit version.
Yeah, but so as long as you're sure you're running a 64-bit version, and I don't think Cloud Ready has a 32-bit version, frankly. But as long as you've got a 64-bit version, you should be fine.
No, they give. That's one of the questions. They give you the option. Oh,
nice. If you do have an old machine, you don't. It takes 32-bit stuff takes up less space.
No.
So yeah, if you've got a 2 gig machine, and et cetera, et cetera, then yeah, the 32 gig version would be fine. But you download the 64-bit version, and you'll be fine.
Let me ask you this one.
Rob.
Does it require a disk drive at all?
Well, yeah, to install it and to boot up with, yes. Well,
you can make a RAM disk.
You make a RAM disk and never turn your machine off.
Yeah.
No, but I have the USB thing, okay, stuck in the machine, the USB stick. Does that install onto a drive?
It would install onto the drive, sure. And the reason for that is that even if you've got USB 3, the stuff on the USB stick is compressed. So it's going to be faster running from the hard drive than it is from the USB stick.
Okay. You know, they need a cookbook for this thing.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, thank you very much. I am a very proud member. Okay.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, and you folks can be members, too. It's ridiculously easy to do. All you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. If you do, you will talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray, who will be more than happy to take your information and make you the newest member. If you are practicing antisocial distancing, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Click the obvious Donate Now button. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff. Pick your level and join.
Well, that was the boss getting back to me. Because I was asking him whether, and this is one thing people have to realize, all right, whether I should set the alarm.
Because you know what? Coming in after us.
Yeah, there's nobody coming in after us, folks. The three of us, along with Steve's wife, took the time out of the day, even in this time of, you know, with everything that's going on, to come here live. There's nobody else in this studio. Nobody else is going to be coming on. But the three of us, given what's going on right now, take the time to come here and still answer your questions. Just like every other Saturday, you know you can turn on the radio and boom. We're not some pre-recorded show. It's not something Rob can program and do. All right, well, I can fill this time slot with music. He could very easily just say, all right, we don't want you guys to take a chance. I'll just put in music. But no, we said we're willing to do this and show up here and still, you know, keep our social distancing. And we're practicing, you know, safe.
This is an essential service. We're doing tech support.
Yeah, we are.
That's under Section 12 of the New York State PAWS Act.
So, you know what? That's why when we come to you and say, you know, please help support us. It's worth the reasons.
You're only 42 inches away. So are you.
He's got a laser tester.
Here, I can go farther.
Cheese and crackers.
All right, yep, now you're 68 inches away. Well, if I do up here or down there.
Meet in the middle.
Yeah. Look, we joke about this, but the reality is that we love doing this show, and honestly, we love you folks. And we know that particularly at this time, you need tech support. We're here for you. We're ready to help. I joke about the fact that I put on pants this morning, but what that really means is we went out into the world to do this for you. All we're asking you to do in return is make the call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Particularly for those of you who listen to this podcast while you're out running, assuming you still run, or you're sitting around, assuming you sit around. The fact is that wherever you are in the world, and we know hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you download this podcast every single week, please consider becoming a member. At this time, more than any other, it is imperative that we stay on the air. And the only way we're going to do that is if you make the call and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And that's where we've also said along those lines too, you know, there is no wrong amount. And if you can't afford right now a lot, you can always go the Jazz-O-Matic route where minimum $10 a month, where you can then pledge over a year or however long you want. It's not that you're getting into a contract. You could sign up for $10 a month and just go with that. And if down the road you want to increase it, you can do that too. Or if you want to stop it at any time, you can.
Yep. And that makes it a little easier for you and it helps us.
Yeah.
So if you've got the ability, please pick up the phone, make the call 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Jazz901.org. That's what we need you to do. And we've got about 15 minutes left. Nobody called in.
No,
that's
not
okay.
Yet.
That's
no,
okay.
Sure.
What's interesting here is Google stepping up. Google and Microsoft are doing a really interesting thing right now, where they're going to be tracking people with your permission. They're going to be tracking people to see who has any sort of contact with whom, how close they get, and correlating that with the spread of the virus and seeing how that's all working out. It's a very interesting thing. But right now, Google also wants to make it easier for people to get medical care virtually so they don't need to leave their homes in the midst of a pandemic. On Friday, Google said it is rolling out two new features in its Search and Maps products to direct people looking for medical care to available doctors, including telehealth options when they're available. For instance, when people search for immediate general care, like urgent care near me or walk-in clinics, they may see national virtual care platforms alongside the regular results. When there are specific doctors' offices with virtual care options, those will pop up as people search for them. Google shared the update in a blog post written by Google Health's Director of Product Management, Julie Black, noting that it had seen interest in virtual care and telehealth rise dramatically. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has encouraged people to leverage telemedicine whenever possible so they don't risk spreading the virus to medical workers or getting it from them. That includes those with mild symptoms who don't need to access in-person care. to meet the the asymptomatic, which is somewhere between 50 and 90% of the people who get it are asymptomatic. To meet the increasing demand, some hospitals are ramping up their virtual offerings, and Google will start to highlight those via maps and search. Many employers and insurance companies are covering the cost of a telemedicine visit scheduled via apps like Teladoc, Doctor on Demand, and American Well, which Google will also feature in its search and map results. These companies have said they are hiring doctors and other medical professionals to increase capacity as people flock to them. Doctors on Demand CEO Hill Ferguson said it had brought on hundreds of licensed doctors since the COVID-19 pandemic started and is still actively hiring. Health professionals can set up their own virtual care offering in their Google business profile. Google will then surface the option to get online care when people are searching for a provider. From their perspective, patients can schedule a virtual visit. Google said it is also displaying cash prizes. Cash prices. Wow. Cash prices for the visit for those who aren't using insurance or have high deductible plans. Those will vary, of course, depending on the provider, but are typically less than $50 a visit. The new features are initially going live in the U.S., but Google may eventually expand it to other countries. Google parent company Alphabet has rolled out a range of tools and services related to the coronavirus pandemic in recent weeks, both from the Google Health team and Verily, its life sciences unit. Last week, it introduced a website that shows the level of social distancing people take in various locations based on information collected from Google's apps and services on people's phones. So how do you feel about telemedicine? We're here live, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, coincidentally, those are also the phone numbers you will use to pledge. And while you're doing that, we'll talk to Doug from Holly, New York. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Hope you guys are all doing well.
We are. You?
Fine, thank you. I have a question about a Mac Mini I have. When I boot it up, I get to a gray screen. I've tried all the keystroke magics recommended. Reset the PRAM, and all it does is chimes when, you know, boot it, and then get really nothing. I've tried different keyboards. It won't option boot. I'm kind of at my wit's end about, you know, what could be causing it.
You said the option doesn't get you to the boot manager either?
No. Nope.
I was going to say, try a Command-V verbose boot and see if there's an error message.
I didn't try verbose. I tried recovery to see if I could go to reinstall or, you know, disk utility or something like that. And every time I boot it, all I get is that gray screen.
It almost sounds like the hard drive is bad, but it should eventually give up trying to boot from it and then move on to the next boot device or let you get into the boot manager.
Okay. A question about that. I have two drives in there, and I fused them a few years ago, so they act as one. So it's going to be hard for me to test that out, you know, take them out and maybe put them in an enclosure or something like that, because the operating system isn't really on one, if I'm thinking correctly.
You did a stripe, not a mirror?
Pardon me?
Did you do a RAID stripe or a RAID mirror?
It's not a RAID. I fused two drives. There's an SSD in there and a conventional disk.
Sounds like a RAID.
Okay. It's something that Apple's doing now. They've been doing for a few years.
The Fusion Drive. That's a RAID.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a JBOD.
Okay. For me to be able to, like, pull them out, test them, it's not going to be, I mean, I can see if they work, but I'm not going to be able to. What's really getting me puzzled is that I'm not able to do any, you know, utilities, option boot, or anything like that.
How long have you waited with the option key down?
Oh, a minute, maybe longer.
Yeah. Well, we actually have a little weight in our office that we put on the option key and leave it for an hour to see if it comes back.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
What it's supposed to do is bring up the boot manager. It's kind of like the BIOS key on a Windows machine. So to let you pick your boot drive. But if there's something wrong with the boot drives, it's got to give up trying to read from them before it moves on. But just disconnecting the internal drives and see if the rest of the computer works, either to get into the boot manager or to boot from an external drive is something to try. You can try reseating the memory cards, but it may be something on the logic board itself.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting that way. I've reseated the RAM. It has an external drive connected to it with a Time Machine backup. So
at least you have a backup of your data.
I guess I'll try and be more patient with the option boot because I should be able to get to that as a choice.
Yeah, although we have seen cases where the drive is so messed up that it screws up the SATA bus, and so with the drive connected, it can't do anything with even other drives.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's an older machine. It's a 2010 model, I think, and it's been good to me. I don't have a lot of strenuous things that I do on it. So
yep. So you should be able to pop that bottom cover off pretty easy, and then unplug both of the drives and see if it can boot from an external drive only.
Okay.
And the good news is you have backups.
Yep.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good luck.
All right. Thanks. Hey, be safe, guys.
You too. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, that the there were a couple model Mac Minis after that where everything was soldered to the logic board, which makes it easy to fix because it's always the logic board.
Yeah, right.
But it makes it expensive to fix. And now they've gone back to socketed RAM, so you can at least upgrade the RAM. But it's a pain. You still have to take the thing almost completely apart, and the RAM cards are under an I/O shield. So it's still a pain.
It's involved.
Yeah. It's we wouldn't call it user replaceable, but it is replaceable.
right. I want to thank the other folks who've called in, Fred and Ed. I believe they're not related in any way, but it's not frickin' frack. It's Fred and Ed.
Okay.
And thank you both for your generous donations. We are very honored to have you as members of the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families. We're very, very happy for all those who called in. I want to thank George and Mary Ann and Earl and Charles and Joel and Robert and Richard and Patrick and Daniel and Fred and Ed for calling in and generously donating to the station in order to keep us alive and keep us on the air. You can do the same. It is not too late. It's 24/7 on the website, soundbites, jazz901.org. Click the donate now button and scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff and donate there. It only takes a couple of minutes of your time, and it does keep this station on the air. You've heard the people who were kind enough to say nice things about us today. We hear that all the time, but in order to keep doing this, we really are going to need you to step up. We joke about the fact that we put pants on, but we came out in this. We are live. And our hope is that you will reciprocate, not by coming out, but by going online to jazz901.org and making your donation. Make that pledge today. Keep this show on the air. We don't want to have to do this again next week. We'd rather just answer your questions. But the fact is, we need to make enough money to stay on the air. That's on you folks. So make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Again, I want to thank George and Mary Ann and Earl and Charles and Joel and Robert and Richard and Patrick and Daniel and Fred and Ed. See, there aren't enough people. I could do that all in one breath. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great Shirley Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We are done for another week. I sincerely thank everyone who pledged. God bless each and every one of you. It's great. I want to thank everybody who called in. We'll be back again next week. I want each of you to have whatever holiday you're celebrating at this time of the year. I hope that it is safe and peaceful and joyful for you and yours. And we will see you next week on the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.